ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into all kinds of stuff. I saw a bunch of way too early top 25s. One from ESPN, one from like SI.
They're all over the place.
Yeah, it's because nobody really knows,
right? Nobody knows.
We're all this time away. So we'll... I just pulled up the one on ESPN because it was the first one that I thought of. So we'll look at that, kind of see where they've got everybody slotted headed into next year. Also want you, and I've already done this, I want you to rank the Big 12 right now, top five in order, right this second.
What, like after this, like what, football?
Football, Big 12, heading into next year.
A preseason.
A preseason gotcha. Big 12 ranking.
Gotcha.
Playoff expansion has been tabled, at least for right now. Why? What's the issues? What needs to be ironed out for that thing to expand before the contract runs out in 2026? NFL playoffs, we'll look at those. We didn't get to that yesterday, so we'll look at the NFL playoffs. Which game are you looking forward to the most outside of Dallas? Because we both know that's the one we want to see the most because that's the one we're interested in. So outside of the Cowboys, which other games are intriguing to you? Which road team do you think has the best chance to win? And then I'm going to give you a chance, Jared, to change your preseason Super Bowl pick. If you can remember what it was. I remember what mine was.
I remember what it was.
I'd say mine was Kansas City and San Francisco.
Oh, ooh.
So both of mine
you need a chance, right?
Teams are in the playoffs. Are both of yours?
Yes.
What'd you pick, Kansas City and Tampa Bay rematch?
I did, yes.
So we'll give you a chance.
Looked iffy there at the beginning of the year with Kansas City kind of faltering.
I will give you a chance.
Now they look good.
I'll give you a chance to change if you'd like. High school hoops last night. In looking up the scores, I figured out what was such a mystery to me. So I flipped over. I was wanting to watch kind of the second half of the Arapahoe-Butler-Mount Viego-Godibo boys game.
Yeah.
I flipped it over there at like 8:30. And it was post-game time. And I'm like, what?
That had to have been record
fast. How fast do they play? Well, here's the deal. There wasn't a girls' game because of COVID, according to the OSSA rankings website.
That's why.
Yeah. Because I was thinking, man.
Because I turned it on and I noticed, man, they're in their pregame early. The boys.
Yeah. Well, I turned it on to watch the second half after I got back. From watch it, I got.
Okay.
But the best thing about Elk City not playing was I got to go watch a little Sayre Elementary School hoops.
Oh, you got a report on that?
I do have a report on that.
Good.
I'll talk about that a little bit. But anyway, and I was just baffled. Like, holy crap! I was thinking to myself, how lucky are these guys? I mean, I am fortunate. It feels like for a Elk City doubleheader to be wrapped up by 9:30.
Yeah.
Like 2.5 hours or 3.5 hours, well, or 3:15 by the time pregame, but like a 3 hour from 6:30 to 9:30, right? I mean, I feel pretty good about that. Like the games went kind of fast, and that was an hour ahead. I could not believe it. And then now I figured out why. So anyway, we'll wrap up some of the high school hoops last night. Yeah, I do have a report from over there at Sayre.
Good.
Against Hobart. It was good games. For the ones I saw were pretty good games, pretty tight games. Throughout there. 225. Also, one more thing. Did you see what happened last night in college basketball?
Well, I saw two top fives went down.
Yes.
Two teams in the top five.
That's the fourth time ever that the last two unbeatens got beat the same night.
Wow.
Guess what, though, Jared?
What?
The previous three, one of those teams went on to win the national title.
Oh.
So does that mean it's either Baylor or USC?
I'll bet on one over than the other.
There's also
isn't that the way when a school gets their highest ranking like for the first time in like 40 years, they're like, oh, we're finally back up here, and then boom, they lose that next game. Isn't that the way?
Who's that?
USC.
Yeah, I mean, they were pretty high.
First time they've been in the top five since 1970-something.
Oh, it was? I thought they might have been a couple years ago.
First time they cracked
Baby
the top
Jordan
five.
Never get in the top five?
No.
Well, Harold Miner?
I'd have to look at the step. That was the big thing when the AP came, when the polls came out yesterday. It was first time SC has risen, or on Monday, first time they've risen that high. And
then they lost.
And then they go, isn't that the way it works?
It does seem like that happens a bunch in college basketball.
Yeah.
We got somebody saying, stop talking about it. Nobody cares. Nobody watches college basketball. There's probably some truth to that. Two things that I noticed. One, something happened that always happens.
Well, we need something to talk about. College football's over.
And it always, and this is a big reason why there was a huge streak. It's just the truth. And two, can you tell me the only team, now give the people a chance to answer this. Don't just blurt it out if you know.
Okay.
But can you tell me the only team in college basketball that has defeated an AP top five in each of the last seven seasons? I saw this yesterday. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text, talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. Going to be outside the listening area. You can stay in touch on KADSAM.com or download the Paragon app. The app has everything. Radio stations. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com. You can also, some places can double dip today. Run out and get a free copy of the print edition of the Penny News. And then by nightfall, you can get the new one. As that always, that transition happens. A lot of places Wednesday, most places Thursday. And then, of course, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. It'll be hard to tell you what's going to happen there for at least for the next week or so, probably. That'll be kind of up in the air. What will, what won't be on there. And then also, Skinny on Sports Podcast, if you missed the show entirely, go back and catch it on KADSAM.com or iTunes. And on iTunes, you can download that or you can subscribe. And when you do that, you get alerted when a new podcast drops. All right, so do you know the answer to that question?
My guess is Stanford, just because they were the one who did it last night.
See, you were thinking you were actually thinking the right way. You chose the wrong team.
Was it Tech?
Texas Tech.
Okay,
is the only team they've defeated a top five, AP top five in each of the last 7 years, and I can't remember if I saw that had never. No, that's just they've done it. The only team in Division One that's done it seven straight years. After last night's upset of number one Baylor. You know the other thing that happened last night that always seems to happen in college basketball season?
What's that?
Did you see the travesty in Fog Allen?
No.
Oh, my Lord. An obvious goaltend. Not called. Oh. And believe it or not, it favored the Jayhawks.
Of course it did.
And they end up beating Iowa State by one. I mean, Iowa State drives in, left-handed layup, off the glass. It clearly hits the glass, comes off, and a guy swats it out, and they don't call it. And Iowa State loses by one. Par for the course there in Fog Allen. That's why it's so hard to beat Kansas there.
Yep.
That's obvious.
That's how it happens.
It was brutal.
You know, there are people yelling at the radio, go, well, OU gets the calls in football in Norman. It's how it feels. You know, it's how it felt in the national title game. Early in that game where it looked like Georgia had like a scoop and score, and then the reviews saved Alabama. In my mind, I thought, there we go. This is how it's going to work. Here's how Alabama's going to win this thing. It's going to start with that right there, and they're going to roll.
Yeah, you know that.
Because they typically get those type of 50-50 calls.
You know the difference?
What's that?
It never seems to reverse in Fog Allen Fieldhouse. It always just stands. Oh, guess what? I'll be darned. You can't review a goaltend if it's not called. So if they call it, how stupid is this? And listen, I'm not a big let's review every play guy. I mean, I thought it was a ridiculous. A couple years ago, the tournament final between Texas Tech and West Virginia, when the dadgum, they slow it down so slow. When Tech gets the ball knocked out of their hands.
Yeah.
And then they call it off tech because it like hit his finger. I mean, listen, yeah. if you have to slow it down to the millisecond,
like they're looking for it.
Then you're looking for it, and it's just that's not the spirit of what review is. But last night on that play, you could see it live, and they didn't have to slow it down at all. The ball hit the backboard, came off, and it was swatted out of there. And of course, Kansas is the beneficiary of a call in Foghound. Anyway. I feel like I'm doing the Wide Right Natty Light website right now, supporting the Cyclones. They had plenty to say about it. It's pretty funny. Anyway, so that was what happened. Oh, yeah, and by the way, the state schools, college basketball, oof, that didn't work out very good.
Nope.
After the euphoria of two top 25, top 10, well, heck, top 15 wins on Saturday, yeesh. Not very good last night.
That's the Big 12, man, in a nutshell.
It's a lot of the conference. There's no doubt about that.
That's the Big 12 for you.
And the main difference was, instead of being inside the friendly confines of the LNC or Gallagher-Iba, those two games were on the road last night.
Yeah, you got to steal games on the road. You got to play your A game on the road because it's hard. It doesn't matter where you are in this conference, top or bottom. If you go on the road, you better be ready. Like, that's why it was impressive for me, Texas Tech, to going to Waco last night.
Oh, yeah.
Baylor started out like on a 9-0 run. I thought, well, here we go. Number one Baylor, going to roll on Tech. And then Tech whittled away and came back and held on.
Snapped a 20-game, nation's longest 20-game win streak. I think they'd won 22 straight inside the Ferrell Center before last night. I would probably venture a guess that they'll be the only ones to win in there in the conference.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a heck of a win for Tech. Over at Sayre, I got to tell you, I walked in. I missed the fifth grade girls. I always kind of miss the fifth grade girls game just because it starts too early and I can't get there.
Okay.
Sometimes I get to see like the last little bit. This time I didn't. But I do know they won. So the little Lady Eagles, they've won a few games here lately after struggling to start. And so I walk in, I sit down, I see Compton get a beautiful pass on the left block, not even jump to shoot, and he leaves it short off the glass. Like it hits the glass, and he doesn't shoot it hard enough to get over the rim. So yeah. It hits the rim, and he misses. And Coach Pugh let him have it. It was awesome. Just, why are you being so lazy? You could hear him. Quit being so lazy. Jump off the ground. Use your legs to shoot. And from there... By the way, did I tell you he lost his middle fingernail in a trailer hooking up accident? Completely gone. And he's been worried about that.
Who?
What? His middle fingernail was smashed off.
Oh, fingernail.
Nail, not finger.
Oh,
nail. Nail.
Like, that's like, this is something you probably...
No, middle fingernail.
The nail. You
yes.
left out the key word
No,
there.
I didn't. I said fingernail. You just heard finger and went, ah!
I don't know, man. I think I said
middle fingernail.
Okay.
Anyhow... He's been nervous about having to play with it. Maybe that was part of it. But
does
anyway,
he have it wrapped up when he plays?
He does have it wrapped up.
Okay.
But he took the butt chewing he received, and rightfully so, to receive it, and ended up with double figures. I think that's the first time he's ever ended up with double figures in a fifth grade game.
There you go.
12 points,
what I
according
heard
to
there,
him.
What I heard there, he was coachable.
Yeah.
Which is what coaches love.
Yeah.
Be coachable.
He did good. They won again, 22-12.
Great.
They beat everybody but the WOCS. WOCS was a tough ask. They'll get another shot at them here in a couple weeks, I think.
All right.
So we'll have the report.
Cool.
Anyway, I think all three of the four Sayre teams won. Both girls, fifth grade boys. Sixth grade boys normally win, but they got beat by Hobart. Hobart had a pretty good team.
Wow. Hobart's pretty good.
Yeah, the fifth grade boys team was pretty good too. Last night, high school hoops. On the Paragon Network, Merritt struggled with Sayre on the girls' side for quite a bit. I tuned into that one third quarter, and it was like 24-19 maybe or something like that.
Wow.
But then they pulled away the Oilerettes, 42-27. So the girls win. Boys did too. That maybe surprised me just a little bit. Sayre's been pretty good so far on the boys' side. But Merritt seemed like a layup line early, like the Eagles just weren't interested in defending. Or Merritt had the right sauce against the defense because early on it was just layup after layup, 60-50. Merritt beat Sayre there. Leedy, look out, Jared. Look out. Coach Carpentering at the moment. The Bison, after making it into the finals of the Oil Center, they beat Visai last night, 58-46. Lady Bison still struggling, though.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, okay, you said the Leedy boys.
58-46.
Vaisai. I don't know what's going on with Vaisai. I'm not trying to
Go ahead and poo-poo it, Jared. That's
no,
fine.
I'm not trying to do that, but Vaisai. Well,
but it's what you're doing.
I don't get it. They've lost three of their last four, and they were – when I saw them back in November, they looked tough and solid and something – I don't know if they're – I don't know what's going on there. Don't know. And
yeah, it looks
I really liked Vaisai, but –
Looks
but
like the
I
Christmas break messed them up.
It kind of did, didn't it?
Because the last game before Christmas, they beat Laverne in overtime.
Yeah, that's a good win.
With only two losses at 9-2. But then, as you said, coming out of the break, they were in that tournament that you were at Sealing, and they end up seventh. They lose the first two, and then, of course, lose to Leedy. Yeah, there's something. Wonder what happened there.
I mean, when I saw that they lost to Fargo Gage Fort Supply, because I was anticipating a Canute Vaisai rematch, mm-hmm. and it didn't happen. I kind of whoa. Then the way Canute came out and just drummed Fort Fargo,
right?
Something's going on with Vaisai. I saw Coach Haley, and I didn't ask him directly what's going on there. You know, I didn't want to. Just came off a loss, but he's a good coach. Just something's up. Let's keep an eye on that. But sometimes that happens in a season. Sometimes teams like Leedy, trajectory goes up. Sometimes teams just kind of lose momentum and they can't regain it. They can't get it back.
So yeah, that's strange. It's strange that it occurred right at Christmas, like coming out of the break.
Yeah. Now, I didn't watch a full – so I didn't know – I didn't take notes. Like, you know, is somebody not playing? Is somebody not there? Maybe they're dealing with stuff like everyone else.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, because you think about it, in that short period of time – from Thursday to Tuesday, that's still in the window, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To where maybe a couple guys not there. Doesn't seem that out of possibility.
But
anyway,
hey, Leedy.
Leedy, watch out.
I said it last Thursday. There's still time for Coach Carpenter to turn that thing around. And with that good showing at the Oil Center and now a big win over Vaisai, yeah, watch out.
Interested to see the draw, the pairings coming up on Friday.
Me too.
Where who's going to have to deal with that?
Me
with
too.
Warning bells, or not warning bells maybe, but alerts started going off in my head when I tuned in to watch Arapahoe Butler play the second half against Mountain View Gotebo, and then the game's over because of what there wasn't a girls game, I suppose. But,
yeah.
MVG.
Yeah.
Put it to Arapahoe Butler.
They're clearly not just playing football at Mountain View.
50-33.
Yeah, wow. I mean, listen, they're top.
On Arapahoe Butler's home floor.
In their gym, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, sometimes that's the wake-up call you need if you're a team like Arapahoe. You know, feeling good about yourselves. You're coming into that game 13-2, top five.
Coming off the Western Equipment win.
Exactly. Thinking, oh, man, we're smooth sailing. Maybe they were looking ahead a little bit to Calumet.
I have to go back and watch that to see. I mean, but that's impressive.
But some of those are – but you can look at losses like that, and they can make or break your season. They can go, man, that was the loss that it came off the rails. Or that's the loss that woke us up.
Yeah, no, and this is in no offense to MVG, but so far, outside of, I mean, they did beat Cyril in the Bingeroni final, which is a really good win.
That's a good win.
But outside of that, it was a little lean. You know what I mean?
Yeah, as far as
schedule and who they're beating, a little lean. But
that's not all their fault. I mean,
no, it's not.
That's where they're at.
Repo Butler's not lean, though.
Oh, no. Ooh. I mean, Snyder.
So that starts
what's next for them. I'm just looking ahead at their schedule. Sentinel is, we talked about them.
Yeah, Sentinel's down the line. Fort Cobb's down the line.
Fort Cobb, Duke boys.
Yeah, they got a pretty tough one going in from February on, getting ready for the playoffs. But that's one that
did not realize. Oh, Landon Scales coaches.
Yes, that's correct.
It's a good coach.
Probably helps.
Good guy.
So that, but anyway, when I say alarm bells, I'm thinking when we do our 8 for state coming up. That's what the alarm bells going off for me were on the Mountain View Gotebo side. One last thing from last night. Did you on the basketball floor, did you see Devin Booker?
No.
Okay, so Phoenix was in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And Toronto's not allowing fans.
Oh, wait. Was he mad at the mascot?
Yes! The mascot was the only guy in the building. He was distracting him from shooting free throws.
I didn't think mascots could talk. I thought that was a rule. You can't talk if you're a mascot.
I mean, ridiculous.
A baby.
Because here's the thing.
You're a professional.
And he plays for Phoenix. And you know what would have been happened if the situation was reversed there in Phoenix with no fans? The world-famous Phoenix Suns gorilla would have probably flown out of the rafters and shot and swatted a free throw away.
Yeah.
It's the most ridiculous mascot out there. And he's whining about the dinosaur.
Doesn't he ride like a four-wheeler at times?
Oh, he's the kid's crazy,
that gorilla.
Crazy, yeah. Man. Devin Booker.
Give me a break.
How soft are you?
What a baby.
It's pretty bad.
That is soft. That's definition soft.
When the opposing mascot distracts you from shooting free throws, that's reached a level.
Come on,
that
man.
I'm not sure we can come back from with Devin Booker. I liked Devin Booker. Afraid that I may have to go on the other side of that now.
What a baby. That's soft. I can't think of any other words how to describe that.
He did tweet after the game that they're cool. Tweeted. They're cool now. They're back to being homies.
Him and the mascot are cool.
Yeah. Maybe it was all a ruse to get us riled up.
Will work.
Hey, you know what's good?
What's that?
To have like little different people around that you know your number. So they can give you like intel.
Sometimes that's a bad thing.
Sometimes it's a good thing though when we're talking about what we were just talking about. I just got a little intel. Mountain View Godibo intel.
Oh. A source.
Yes.
You got a source. That's what those are called, Aaron. Those are called sources.
MVG, scrimmage Clinton over the holidays.
Yeah.
Played even. Take it for what it's worth, but they shoot well and are very active. I've seen Clinton. I saw Clinton when they had 2 days of practice.
Damn.
The Tuesday after the state title game, right?
A lot of athletes will carry your team for a while, yeah. But yeah.
And they have gotten better, obviously. You know, we never really talked about
it. They lost to Woodward, though. That was odd to me.
What? Last night?
No, Monday. They played Monday night, and then they played last night.
Really?
Yeah, I have to look that up. I was just following on the Scordle app.
Sure enough, 79-71.
Yeah. And then they turned around and played Altus last night. And
they surely killed Altus, didn't they?
Yeah, they won 60-34.
Yeah, Altus. Yeesh.
And that was at Clinton, too, the Woodward game. I mean, you never know.
Well, now, hang on a minute. Is Woodward good? I thought they lost a bunch of guys.
I don't know. They're 6-5.
I know they lost their coach.
They came into that game before that Clinton win.
They lost Garden City.
They lost every game at the Wheat Capital Tournament. But they played
Alva Garber.
We know Garber very well. Seen them a few times. And then Chisholm.
They lost to Dodge City. No, wait. I saw Garden City. Never mind. They beat Blanchard.
It's a weird... 4A boys is weird. Because Blanchard went and beat Tuttle.
Weatherford beat Tuttle.
Clinton beat Weatherford. Clinton almost beat Tuttle. Is it Heritage Hall and everybody else in 4A?
Well, I don't know. I've seen...
You talk about playoff matchups. The 4A boys will be interesting to see who gets sent where. Because it seems really kind of even playing field.
It feels like the tournaments next week are going to make a big difference there.
Yeah.
For some teams and how that all works. Yeah, I mean, Kingfisher's number one, 11-0. I'll be honest with you. Okay, whatever. They're good. They defend so hard.
Yeah.
So hard. But they, I mean, the team they have now, no offense to those guys because they have been a part of one of the best runs, by winning percentage, the best run in the history of Oklahoma high school basketball. But that team last year would beat them 20 just because they lost, I mean, the talent that they lost.
Yeah.
Woodward shot very well. Yeah, 79 points. That's a bunch of points.
Yeah, you're shooting pretty good.
You have to be. Running up and down, shooting it.
Yeah.
Anyway, it'd be interesting. You know, Victory Christian's a team that they beat Heritage Hall. Matter of fact, they killed Heritage Hall. What was that score? 67-41.
Wow.
Killed them.
Wow.
So obviously they're pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm interested in Weatherford. I really am. I know they lost to Clinton on last Tuesday. Then they swept through that tournament with ease, relative ease. Beating Eisenhower, Elgin, and Tuttle. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
We'll see what they do Friday at Bethany. Bethany's number 8. Actually, they've fallen a little bit. They're number 10. But
10.
Anyhow, I'm interested in Weatherford because...
And there's Bethany, who lost last night to Tuttle.
Oh, listen, that conference is so good.
Yeah. My point is, the 4A boys, I think, is...
It's going to be a good one.
Extremely top-heavy, but I think there's a lot of teams that can make some noise depending on where they go in the playoffs. Weatherford, one of them. I wouldn't want anything to do with Weatherford in the playoffs.
Dude, I'm telling you.
You know, Clinton's always seemed like they get deep in the area and they can't get out of it. It feels like this is their shot to get to state.
No doubt. Because Clinton's good. Clinton's very good. Like I said, we saw them the very first rattle out of the box.
I
think Powell walked in with his helmet and shoulder pads still on.
Probably the bruises were still there from playing football. Yeah.
And he, listen, in that night, he missed a couple chippies that he wouldn't miss when he's in basketball shape that kept the Elks right there handy until the end. So, by the way, I didn't know the Crumleys could dunk.
Yeah.
Let's got that from Amy, not Scotty.
Oh, boy.
Anyhow, you're right, though. 4A boys, it feels pretty feels pretty good. Feels like it's going to be pretty good.
Very good.
All right. Playoffs. NFL playoffs.
Playoffs? You know I had to do it.
Well, here you go, Billy. 39 years since Clinton's been in the state tournament. Hey, I got a question.
And I'm 38, so...
They went right before you were born, Jared.
First in my lifetime if they get there.
I have a question for
some. The girls got there in high school. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, Paige Adams and them made it, didn't they?
Paige Adams, Lee and Autumn, Anna Hansley, yeah. Maria Thor.
Well, no wonder they made it.
They were good.
I do have a question for historians out there in Western Oklahoma. Because a week or 2 weeks from yesterday, there's a game on the schedule for Elk City that hasn't been there in a while. And I want to know the last time it happened. Sayre. It's coming to Elk. When is the last time Elk City and Sayre played basketball?
Wow. That's a good one.
Scotty's taking credit. Okay. Oh, here we go. Dakota's already got it. Junior year, 2009.
Oh, okay.
I would have bet it was way before that.
So is this...
Was that a tournament, Dakota? Or was it on the schedule?
Had to have been a tournament. Is this the battle for Beckham County?
No, because it doesn't. I mean, even
it doesn't
this
happen all
regular
the time.
Season on the schedule. I'll be danged. I would have bet it was sometime in the early 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was trying to think I was born in 1980, and I can't remember it happening. Like vividly remember.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was. I'm sure it did. There you go. 2009. Well, that kind of a. I mean, it's not a bummer. Thank you, Dakota, for knowing. He was playing, obviously. Did you win, Dakota? So do the Eagles have scoreboard at the moment?
Do you think? Do you like that? Keep that a regular thing?
I think it makes sense with everything that's been going on for some of this to happen. Mm-hmm. There's another game out there that I would be shocked if it does happen. But there's another one out there. Yeah, you're pointing out to the south and the west of our studio.
Merritt and Elk.
Yeah, that would be it. I wouldn't assume that one would happen, but you never know.
Why not?
How do you say this? I don't know if I can say
like
this.
Like a civil war in town.
It'd be
fun. It'd be really fun. The talk. I mean, you got people who work together. Who some kids go to Merritt, other kids go to Elk City. I think it'd be a lot of fun. A little inner city rivalry could form up.
I don't think there's a lot of.
There's not a win-win in there.
I don't think there's a win at all for one of those sides.
For anybody, even if you win, you're not winning.
Oh, no. I think it's exactly opposite. I think it's lose-lose on one side, win-win on the other. That's why it won't happen. If you know what I mean.
You know what's going to happen, though. Maybe not in a regular season format, but you know one day they're going to wind up like at the Hinton tournament, or they're going to – it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, everybody's – I'm getting old-timey. I'm getting old-timey Elk City players and trainers and everybody texting us going, we used to play Lot and Ike and Lot and Mac and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Now we're playing Sayre. Well, guess what? There wasn't a pandemic, and there's not – I mean, trying to cut as much cost as you possibly can. It makes sense to have that short road trip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a lot of support on the brown and white side to play Merritt on my text line, I can tell you that. I think it'd be interesting, though. I'd have to get maybe.
It'd be fun. I just think it'd be fun. Maybe because I live.
What about how about this?
And I just want to see.
Since we're spitballing here,
yeah.
What if it was like, kind of did like the all college?
Oh yeah.
No, you know at times there was OU, OSU, ORU, and Tulsa.
Right, right.
What if you had that, Eric?
All the Beckham County.
You might leave out Sweetwater if they're apart, and then five makes it awkward instead of just having four.
Well, I mean, Sweetwater proper is more like in Roger Mills County, right? Right there at that intersection. But the school is in Beckham. Isn't that where it kind of draws? Anyways, I like the idea, though. Eric, Merritt, Sayre, Elk, a little festival. Hey, the Paragon TV Festival.
There you go. Look at us thinking up things. I bet Coach Hunt's proud of us right now. All right, anyway, NFL playoffs. Which game are you looking forward to the most outside of the Dallas one?
The Rams and the Cardinals. That one looks very, very intriguing because they're divisional foes. And I just got a feeling it's going to be a lot of fun. That one is the number one game I'm looking forward to. I think Bills-Patriots will be a blowout. I think that's where you're going.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I like the very first one.
I don't have a schedule. I just have a bracket. It doesn't have the times. Go ahead.
Raiders-Bengals.
Oh, yeah.
It's very intriguing to me because neither team has really been there. And there's part of me that thinks that one of the scarier teams, like one of the teams that might be able to upset somebody is Cincinnati with that offense, with Burrow, and the way they were rolling at the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then you got the Raiders who just seem like Derek Carr is able to will them to things. And it's cool that he's going to get to play in a playoff game. His last time they made the playoffs, he had a broken ankle and wasn't able to. So even though his team has made it twice now, this will be the first time he gets a step foot on the field in a playoff game. And so I'm intrigued to see what happens there.
Yeah.
To me, because Cincinnati will be locked into playing Tennessee. Because they're the four seed, right? And so they're locked in. Four seed, well, I guess they won't be locked in if there's not an upset. I guess I have to have that caveat in there. But if things go chalk in the AFC, then Cincinnati would head to Tennessee. I see no reason why the Bengals couldn't win that game. And then all of a sudden, now you've got Joe Burrow playing to go to the Super Bowl, possibly. So, or he could puke down his leg and the Raiders could win. You know what I mean? I think it intrigues me because the possibilities there are multiple. You know, it feels like it will take something ridiculous for Tampa to lose to Philly. I put Dallas out of it because we both want to see it because we like Dallas.
Outside of that, I found a way. I know you're going to finish my sentence. For my kids to watch the game with me because it's on Nickelodeon.
Oh, really?
And I went back. I found.
Oh, I saw that. Are they going to slime the end zone?
They're going to do all that stuff. Oh, and I went back and I found like the YouTube video of last year's game, and I showed my kids that, and they were just locked into it. Like, Daddy, when's that game? I said, hey, well, funny you ask.
Sunday at 3:30.
Sunday at 3:30, and it is the Dallas Cowboys. Like, Daddy, that's your team. I know. You want to watch it with me? It's like, yeah, let's watch it.
Mark Summers. And Dallas Cowboys. I think I'll probably be a man and go to the Sayre Golf Course and drink beer and watch it.
I was actually impressed with it because here's the deal. My kids, they, you know, I watch a lot of football, and they'll sit down and try to watch with me, and they're asking me questions. What's that mean? What is holding? Well, how come they're celebrating? The other team isn't. They tackled it. We're like, well, they got a first down. What's a first down? I was like, yeah. Listen, I can't do this right now. I'm watching the game.
See, now this goes.
The Nickelodeon thing does that.
That's right. And it's going to help you with your New Year's resolution.
Of not getting upset?
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you're answering questions for your daughters and helping them to enjoy watching football, then it keeps you from getting as locked in and upset if things aren't going well for the Cowboys or the Sooners.
Yeah. Yeah, this is good. It got rave reviews last year. So, my answer of that's I'm looking obvious for obvious reasons for Dallas because we're Dallas fans, but because now I get to get my kids a little bit more involved with this. Kudos to Nickelodeon and the NFL.
Which road team do you think has the best chance to win?
Let's look at that. I think it's 49ers. I do. Not so much for the performance on the field, but they travel well. Their fans do. I saw a plea out that said, please quit selling your tickets to 49ers fans. It's going to feel like a neutral site game there.
I've said it for a while. This is the one matchup I didn't want to see.
Right.
I'd have much rather played Arizona or the Rams, honestly, because the 49ers can pound. I don't know if Dallas's defense, I get that they need turnovers, whatever. I don't know if they can stop somebody from just running it down their throat. And San Francisco can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me nervous. I actually think it's the Raiders because I'm not sure. As much as I just said about Burrow, I'm not sure what's going to happen. And the Raiders kind of seem like a team that's a little bit of destiny with the way that they've been. And listen, they beat some good teams down the stretch just to get there. And so they've been playing playoff games for, 4 weeks now?
Yeah.
You know, they come in four straight wins. Browns, yeah. Broncos, Colts, and Chargers.
In the playoffs, especially the first round, I really take in the crowd factor. We got full stadiums again. I just mentioned the Cowboys 49ers thing. I think Cincinnati is going to be rocking and rolling. They're back in the playoffs, and they want to get that playoff bugaboo off their back.
I mean, they haven't won one, what is it, like 1991 or something like that? Yeah. They haven't won a playoff game since.
This is a new era for Cincinnati. They don't have that coach that was there. They obviously have.
They don't have Andy Dalton and Marvin Lewis. Right, it's Zach Taylor and Burrow. Yeah.
Joe Mixon, too. I mean, it's a brand new era of Bengals football. I think that place, out of all the home locations, that place is going to be absolutely rocking.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know Arrowhead. Did you see the meme?
Well, they're used to it. The
retirement party for Ben.
Yeah. LA would be it. Were they going to be full capacity? That's why Arizona has a good shot because they get to go to LA. Are they even going to have fans?
Yeah, I think so.
Did you see a Stanford USC game?
Nobody there.
I don't think
Stanford's allowing students this semester.
It's ridiculous. It just made me mad to watch. Like, we got top five team losing and no one's there to see it.
Is which one would shock you the most if the home team fell?
Well, outside of the Bucks and Chiefs.
I mean, those are the two, right?
That's the obvious answer. Would probably be the Chiefs. Oh, come on.
I think so too.
And I know I was praising Big Ben's like, man, you give the guy a chance. He's a veteran quarterback. I know he looks rusty, but he knows how to win, especially knows how to win big games. If you give him a chance, sure. But if they go in the Arrowhead and knock off what a lot of people are already calling the Super Bowl favorite Chiefs, yeah, that's shocking. That's shocking to me. I don't know if it's so much shocking if Philly does it.
Yeah, it'd be surprising. I mean, shocking, but Tampa's had all the madness with Anthony. I mean, they've had stuff to handle.
There's some stuff.
There's injuries.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff there with Tampa where you could, when we come in here on Monday, go, well, yeah, I mean, the injuries finally caught up with them, or Antonio Brown stuff, you know, any of that. But
I'm guessing Philly's going to get a lot of those guys back for this game.
I read a deal yet last week. It was a little tinfoil hat conspiracy that they did it on purpose. They tested them. And they all tested positive because here's the thing. Now that they're out of it, they can't be tested again for 90 days. Guess what? That gets them all the way through the season, all the way through the playoffs, clear through
so
the Super
Bowl. So they had a COVID party.
Maybe so. That's what – it was reputable writers, but kind of saying, hey.
Not breaking any rules?
No. Matter of fact, one might consider it smart.
I tip the cap to him.
I do too.
I have no issues with
good
that.
Good thinking. Like Nick it. Sirianni.
Good job.
All right. If I gave you the opportunity to change your Super Bowl pick, would you? Tell the folks what your Super Bowl
pick
was.
My Super Bowl pick was Kansas City versus Tampa Bay, a rematch. Yes, I would change it. Yeah, I would change it to Kansas City and Green Bay.
Green Bay.
Yeah. Yeah, because what you just said about Tampa Bay, the Antonio Brown stuff, the injury stuff, they don't look as crisp as they were this time a year ago.
So, yeah, no, it's what's crazy is they've got a better record than they had last
year.
Yeah,
I know.
But it doesn't seem
all,
like...
Yeah, it's just all about feeling, you know, what a team looks like going into it postseason as they did. You know, like last year when they were going into postseason, like, you know what? They looked the part. They looked like a Tom Brady-led Super Bowl team. Now, definitely that's what Kansas City is. They look the part. Bucks, not so much. So I'll switch it to Green Bay and Kansas City.
I had Kansas City and San Francisco. Man, I don't know.
Hard for me to put 49ers all the way there, man.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, I'm looking at three teams better than them. 3.5.
Well, I think there's a few.
Yeah. I mean, just on the NFC side.
I think they're the scariest. I think they're the scariest road team, but there's no way they're going to make it to the Super Bowl. Here in round one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, they would be the last team I would want to play if you were the division winning side of this. They'd be the last team you'd want to see, but I don't think they can get there. Jimmy G, come on, man. He's not doing it again. What about Tennessee? What do we make of Tennessee?
That's a great question, and we won't know that till after next week.
Is Derrick Henry? I mean,
is he going to play? How is he 100%? Does it change completely what they do? Does it go back?
Well, think about if he is. Yeah. Let's think about if Derrick Henry is 100%. Okay, he hasn't played. He hasn't taken a hit.
Yeah,
I'm trying to pull up there. I'm going to tell you exactly how long it's been.
But there is always that.
He got hurt in the at Colts game.
Yeah,
the at Colts game was on Halloween. So he hasn't taken a hit since Halloween.
That's a thing as far as getting reacclimated.
I'm looking at it.
You're looking at being healthy, I know. But yes. I'm looking at it like, man, it might take him a few drives to get reacclimated.
That's
and
fine.
Then what if they're already down 14-0?
Well, then it's not his problem. I don't know what to make of them. Because when you look at their schedule, when he was there, they went through that stretch. Okay, they beat the Colts. Then they beat the Bills. Then they beat the Chiefs. Then they won at the Colts. They won at the Rams. They beat the Saints. Those last two without him. I mean, they beat the 49ers down the stretch. They've got as good a wins as anybody, and no one's talking about them. And they're the one seed. That's what's crazy about
it. They're the one seed, and they probably the most disrespected one seed because you get nobody's talking about them being the one seed. And typically, the one seed is a favorite.
Oh yeah,
to go all the way.
Yeah, you're trying. The question is normally, okay, who can knock off? Like if it was in the NFC, the question is, okay, who can beat Green Bay? Because we both think Green Bay is probably the favorite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of home field, because of Rodgers and all that. But Tennessee, I'm thinking in my mind, well, I can make a case for a bunch of teams. You know what? I'm not even going to pick them. I am going to change. But I'm going to change. Oh, they've been too inconsistent. I can't pull that Buffalo trigger. I can't do it. I'm going to go with Tennessee. I'm going to have faith in Derrick Henry being healthy in that monster, not taking hits for 2 months, and that being a huge positive for them.
Okay.
God, the NFC is just... Whew.
It's tough. The NFC is tough.
I guess Green Bay... I mean,
as long as it's the Packers in the playoffs in Green Bay.
Yeah, but they haven't been very good.
That's a tough area. Well, I know Tampa Bay went there last
since,
year.
Well, listen, that. Since they lost, forever they were undefeated.
Yeah.
And then they lost that game to the Vikings when Randy Moss mooned the crowd. Remember that?
Yeah.
Back just after the turn of the century. Since then, they're like 500 at Lambeau. Think of the title games they've lost. They've lost some there. They lost to Eli. They lost to Tom Brady. I mean, the truth of it is, the legacy of Aaron Rodgers is he's only won one title. And he's blown it in the championship game a bunch. A bunch.
Yep.
I don't want to pick him. Do you have to pick Brady again? Oh, they've got so many injuries. If you could tell me who won Rams-Cardinals. Actually, if you could tell me the Rams can beat the Cardinals, I might take the Rams. But then you got then you're putting your chips in the middle with Matthew Stafford. Huh?
Yeah.
I guess at the end of the day, you either got to take Rodgers or Brady.
Yeah.
And I'll take Rodgers.
I agree.
I'd rather see yours. I'd rather see Mahomes-Rodgers. If it came down, you know what I mean?
That'd be fun for me.
I mean, at the end of the day, I'd rather see Bucks-Pats. Just for the storylines.
Oh, absolutely. We didn't even mention them, but I don't think
and of course, Dallas-Kansas City would be great as well.
Be fun.
Dallas versus anybody. Maybe the Jags can make it if Dallas does. I'll have to get to this quick, and then we're going to carry this over to tomorrow, the college football stuff. I want you – do you want to do the too early top 25, or do you want to – I want you to rank the Big 12. Top five going at preseason – right now, preseason Big 12 ranking going into next year.
Okay, I wrote this down. Let me bring it up. Still looking at the NFL bracket. Okay, just five?
I had a hard time caring after number four, to be honest with you.
Okay. I'll go with OSU, okay. Number one. Baylor, number two. But because both teams return a lot, I think OSU will have the edge. Cincinnati, number three. Oh, wait.
I see what you did there.
Can't do that. I'll go OU number three. I think the pedigree is still there for them to be a top three team in the league, followed closely by Texas. That's four. Number five, I think Iowa State takes a dip. I think Kansas State will be right there, middle of the pack, number five in the Big 12. Don't they get Martinez?
Adrian Martinez.
I think he is going to be under a better coach now. That utilizes his skill set better.
I had them. My fifth team was either them or Texas. And I went with Texas because I wrote down no other real options. Really? And Quinn Ewers.
Yeah.
Number four, I had Iowa State, even though they lost Hall and Purdy and some others. I think they've earned the benefit of the doubt.
That's the biggest. With Campbell. This is going to be the biggest year for Campbell.
They got some guys back, though. I mean, in there, listen, they're a lot like OSU in that. The years they've had pretty high expectations, they've maybe fell a little flat. In the years that you didn't think they were going to be as good, they pop up in the Big 12 title game. Like that a little.
Losing Purdy and Hall is big. But do they lose the tight end?
Yeah, Kolar's gone.
That's bigger for me.
We'll see. I think
that for me.
I'm not accusing you of this. But I would accuse some other people of thinking, well, it's Iowa State. They can't just keep on getting guys. They've been terrible forever. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, they can't just reload. I think they might be able to. Plus, they kept McDonald on the D-line. I think their defense has proven to be, since Campbell's been there, if not the best, year after year after year in the conference, in the top two or three. So, to me, they've earned the benefit of the doubt. Over Texas, I mean, come on. Until Texas is at the point where, until they finish in the top three, I'm not going to have them there.
Gotcha.
Third, I've got Oklahoma as well. They've just lost way too much, and that may be honestly too high with what even transpires later. Obviously, yeah. Caleb Williams isn't going to be there.
We'll see. This is hard to do without this portal thing done and who else leaves.
And who comes.
And who comes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, because there's still some question of people that could still show up. So that's why I can't. Kind of had him right there. I think the pedigree thing, it's still OU. It's still, I think there's a change. It's a totally new era. We hope a new attitude if you're an OU fan. And I think the thing that stands out to me is both OSU and Baylor come to Norman next year.
Schedule helps. There's no doubt about that. I've got Baylor too. They lost more than OSU. And I think OSU returns the better quarterback. And I've got Oklahoma State number one. I think it's hard to pick against them with what they showed in that Fiesta Bowl against Notre Dame. if you get that Spencer Sanders, that's a team. Oklahoma State's going to be a team that's in the college football playoff conversation all year next year, because they're going to start in the top 10 or right there close, and it's not going to take long for them to be right, you know, in that conversation. And so
they've got to buck that trend of having those expectations
the problem.
And then not meeting them.
I'm sure OSU fans are screaming, going, please slot us at fourth or something.
Yeah, they're saying, stop talking about us. Yeah. We want to come in unknown like last year.
I'm not as sold on the receiving core as obviously Jim is. I mean, he's thinking, I mean, he said that Monday after the game, he thought it was one of the best in the nation. Come on. Did you see what Ohio State firing in there after losing Wilson and Olave? They just replaced him with Marvin Harrison Jr. And then Egbuka and all that. That's the gold standard for receiving corps right now across the country. I think there's some promise there. But the one guy they had that would consistently get things done was Martin. And they don't have him coming back. So now can Brendan Presley, as the main guy, or whoever else it is, step up and be the main guy? And then the ancillary parts go off of it. I mean, I'm afraid there's some recruiting rankings and some being factored in there for him being good. And if there's a fan base in the country that can tell you don't trust recruiting rankings when it comes to receivers, it's the folks down in Norman.
Yes.
Those recruiting rankings at the receiver position, don't always pan out.
Yeah. It's kind of nice to see some of those receivers leave. It didn't pan out.
Well, the one is in jail. I don't know if he wanted to leave or not, but they made him. Anyway, everybody have a great Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new edition of the Skinny on Sports.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.